With Amazon.com's 12 Days of Deals, they've got more great gift ideas than you could fit in your beanie. Get the best deals on everything you need to help support Rob Has a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA, or simply just click on those banners at robhasawebsite.com. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, getting you ready to talk to our final six from Survivor Cambodia. Boy, what a fun night I had last night going to the Survivor finale. Myself and Josh Wiggler, we ended up doing the red carpet. We did our bit of a recap from the red carpet. We had people coming through. It was really, really a fun night. We're going to talk about it all later on today. Josh is going to come back over here and we're going to answer your voicemails. But let me set up what this is first, and I'll tell you about everything else that we had going on for this Survivor finale coverage. So today, we are going to be talking again to actually five of the final six that Tasha is on her way back to the airport. So we're not able to get a hold of Tasha this morning, but we're going to hear from the winner, Jeremy Collins. We're going to talk to Spencer. We're going to talk to Kelly Wentworth. And then we've got a double call at the end with Keith Nail and Kimmy Kappenberg. That's all coming up here today in this podcast. Now, last night, it was really, really fun. We were set up on the red carpet and Josh and I got to talk to all of these people in person. You could watch the video of that in addition to the audio podcast all up at robhasawebsite.com. Plus, last night, we also had our opening act for all the festivities hosted by Jordan Parhar and Jessica Leese. They were live right after the episode answering your questions. That's up on robhasawebsite.com. And then Josh Wiggler is coming in today. We are going to be doing your voicemails today. So we're going to put a bow on this season and going to take your feedback all coming up here today on robhasawebsite.com. So very exciting day of Survivor stuff as we start to close out one season and then keep one eye open to Survivor 32, which is just about 2 months away. I think actually 2 months from today until it starts in Survivor Co Wrong. What could go wrong? So we're going to talk about all that and more here on Rob Has a Podcast. So why don't we get back into it? Let us talk with the man who is the two-time Survivor and the winner by unanimous decision of Survivor Cambodia. Jeremy, are you there?
Hey, what's up, bro? How's it going, man?
I'm doing okay. Jeremy, how are you doing? And does $1 million cure a hangover?
You know what? I didn't even drink or anything. I just came back to the hotel. I was so mentally exhausted. I just celebrated with the fam. I just chilled out.
Yeah, that's really nice. Anyway, congratulations again. It's great to see you last night on the red carpet and talk about everything a little bit there with you, but happy you have some more time for us today. Jeremy, you know, in trying to process your win a little bit, I've been just trying to think about like the big picture of it. When you look back at this season, what was the key move that you feel like you made to win this season? Is there one?
I don't think there's one. I think what I did was at some point in the game, I had a relationship with everybody and some type of trust or bond with everybody at some point. And I think going forward in a game that flips and flops so much, you want at least one person that you want to get rid of the person that you don't trust. And if you trust me a little bit, then you keep me the next 3 days. And that's all I think every day I did that, you know.
When I was sort of thinking back about your game this season, I was going back to where Kelly Wentworth ended up playing the idol and Andrew Savage got voted out of the game. And I was very curious to find out from you, how would you have reconciled the Savage thing? Because I think that ended up being a pretty net positive for you, getting Savage taken out. And you didn't have to vote him out. So you got rid of a guy who was potentially a roadblock to your path to the end in terms of like how you were going to break down that Bion alliance. And then he goes out. So how were you going to handle that?
I didn't think I really needed to handle him. He trusted me and we were good. He had enough enemies out there that I knew that they would be coming at him. And with the tribe swaps and the voting blocks, Steven was going to go after him. You know what I mean? So I knew I would be fine. I had Steven to go after all my meat shields and I had the meat shields ready to go after Steven. So it was perfect. I didn't need to really get my hands dirty with anybody. Everybody else wanted each other out.
I'm glad you brought up the meat shields, because I was watching one of your videos this morning where you talk about right before you went on to the season, how you wanted to surround yourself with people that were going to be bigger physical threats than you. Did you feel like that ultimately worked out for you in practice?
I think it did. I think my last season, when John Rocker goes home and I go, you know, I'd say everybody, John Rocker, he said this, he did this, this is who he is. And then he goes home. I think if I keep John Rocker around, John Mish doesn't come after me. You know, I needed people to be all threats, bigger threats around me. I needed to keep Joe as long as possible. I didn't want Joe to go home when Steven went after him. You know what I mean? I just said, Steven, this is your world, you know, take it and you run with it. But I didn't want Joe to go home. Even when Joe went home, I was like, oh, I'm having buyer's remorse. I'm not sure I wanted that. You know, I think it works, but it works in my game.
Going back to San Juan del Sur and the differences between that game and this game, would you feel like that the differences are more because of what you learned from playing the first game, or was your head sort of out of it a little bit because of Val's presence in that San Juan del Sur game?
I don't know. I think when, you know, the first time I'm going in saying, I'm going to win this game, I can do this. I got to win this. And the second time I came in and I didn't think I was going to win the game. I said, there's no way. These people are after me because I'm a firefighter with two kids and I have abs. I'm not good at challenges. I'm going to,
you won that final four.
I'll take one. I can win one a year. You know, I'll take okay. one a season, but I'm not good at them, you know? And I just didn't think I was going to win the game. So I said, I'm just going to go in there and play crazy, play erratic. Let me, you know, I'll play an idol for somebody, you know, like I want to play. And I guess Probst says it all the time, play like you're not playing for $1 million. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Like, who cares? I'm letting chickens loose and letting everybody chase a chicken, you know, like, let me just have fun out here.
Yeah, that was funny. That was a really funny secret scene where you let the chicken out. You know, one of the things I think is particularly amazing about what you did is when we go back and we take a look at all-star seasons of Survivors, it typically is somebody who wins who's not a big threat. When we go back and look at, you know, the Amber or Sandra, and you're somebody who came into the season that people would have thought was a threat. Were you able to, in a season where everybody's looking for the threats, not be the threat?
I'm only a threat with people that aren't threats. These people are all threats around me, you know, like in meat shields and, you know, social and strategic threats. Like everybody's better than me in that thing. You know what I mean? But I'm in the middle here in any aspect of the game. So when everybody's after Joe because he's a challenge beast, or everyone's after Steven and Spencer because they're social and strategic beasts, I'm right in the middle, and you all can go after each other and let me just coast right through and keep going.
So in the final tribal council, you ended up revealing about how baby number three, baby boy, is on the way. Was that sort of premeditated from a certain point that if I get to the final tribal council, I'm going to do it? Because I spoke with Boston Rob last week, and he said that you should not do that. Now, look, it worked out great for you, but he felt like that there was a possibility that it could turn people off. Obviously, it didn't in your case, but did you really weigh that out of this is going to be my move to talk about it here?
I mean, I think if you come off beggy and sympathetic, you know, you don't want a sympathy vote. You know, I wanted everybody to see me as I played the best game and I deserve to win because of that. But if you're on the fence, give me my vote, because you know what? I played out here with a heavy heart and I'm not around my family and Val's pregnant. And I'm not, I just wanted to come off as not as beggy as, you know, I understand what Rob's, with Boston Rob's saying that you don't want to sound beggy, but I didn't want to come off begging. You know what I mean? I thought I came off just proving my point. You know what I mean?
I think the votes sort of reflect that as well. Can you believe it? 10-0? Have you processed that at all?
It's crazy. I didn't even know. Like I heard my name, and then once Jeff said, like, and the winner, and I blocked out everything. I didn't count the rest of the votes. Like, I just left, you know? And I don't care. All I need is to win by one. I don't care about 10 votes. Who cares about that? You know? Give me that.
I think a lot of people care.
Well, listen, you got to check if you get one vote more than everybody, you get the same amount
yeah.
as if you shut everybody out. I'm good.
So when you left Cambodia, did you feel like you had it locked up, or were there like a lot of sleepless nights in between when you left up until now?
No, I never thought it was solid. I mean, this season was so crazy. There's so many blind sides. I said, I don't know what's going on. I'm not happy until Jeff reads it. And, you know, I kind of got an idea that I was in a good space, in a good place, and I should win. And, I hear people, rumblings that I won. But I'm not sure until I see it. I just need to see that check.
Who did you think could have beaten you? Did you think it was Spencer or Tasha?
Hey, I thought Spencer was going to be the other one. I thought Tasha might have gotten, like Savage. I think Savage could have been either me or Tasha. And I said, he might give it to Tasha. I wasn't sure about Wigglesworth. I wasn't sure if she was mad at me for going against her. And I wasn't sure. So I knew I had Steven. I thought I had Cass, and Abby. I was pretty sure I had Abby. Other than that, I wasn't sure. Maybe Sierra. Sierra loves big moves, and I made a big move on her. So I don't know. I thought I had a few.
Did you ever find out if you got the winning number from Kelly Wigglesworth?
Oh, you know what I heard? I heard that Wiggles said, my winning number is whatever number Jeremy picked.
Okay.
That's cool. You know what's crazy is that I thought, I was with Kelly, and once Savage went home, my paranoia level went on 10, and I thought she was, she might have been the person that did it. And she told me after, she was like, I was with you. And then she wasn't even with me. She was with Joe. I was like, get out of here. You wasn't really with me.
It's so crazy that you end up in this final five with two other people from your original tribe back in San Juan del Sur. Was there ever any talk of between the three of you guys that we saw that there was a little mention of it on the show last week of, hey, should we just go and do the all Hunapu thing?
No, are you kidding me? Keith does not want to play with me. Rob,
He ended up so far with him.
I don't know what it is. He does not want to play with me. He says I'll beat everybody in challenges last year, and then he goes with the all-time greatest challenge survivor in history and sticks with him and Joey Amazing. He does not want anything to do with me, and I don't know because Kelly, I trusted Kelly from last season, and I couldn't even play with her this season. I don't know. We just had nothing. We were not going to roll together. I don't know what it was. And we played one vote together to get out Wigs. And that was it. It was crazy. I just didn't have any trust in them. I had more trust in Cagayan. So
how much talking did you do to the other survivors before everybody went out there?
I'm not doing no pregame alliance.
Yeah.
Crazy. They said Tyson didn't do any pregame alliance. And he said, they're all like, listen, they don't work. Don't mess with it. And I'm like, you know what? If anyone calls me and they send me texts or whatever, my answer to everybody was, I can't wait to play with you. That was it. I'm not talking.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing this. And Joe was like, he was like, hey, I'm going to give you a call. And he never called me. And I'm glad because I would have talked to Joe because Joe was the biggest person that I said, I'm working with Joe. And that could have been a pregame alliance going if he called me. But it was no pregame alliance.
So you really feel like that it does more harm than good for all these people that are really into it?
Yeah, I mean, you get these pregame alliances, you don't really know what they're doing. You don't know what they're saying to the next person. Like, just go in there raw and let's just play. Stop trying to figure things out beforehand. That just messes things up.
What was the point for you in the game that you felt like you were in the most trouble?
Probably in the most trouble, I'd say maybe after Joe was gone. Joe was my number one meat shield. My number one, strategic shield was gone in Steven. So the girls could have come after us. And I was like, I told Spence, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable, man. I think we made a bad decision.
Did you have a clear number two? Because it looked like that through the course of the game, there was a lot of different people who were sort of jockeying to be your right-hand person.
I don't know. Every day it changed. Tasha was my number two at one point. Steven was my number two through most of the game. Spencer was my number two. It just moved. But let me tell you what happened. So we would say, for instance, all right, the plan is to go after Wigglesworth, and everybody's on board. And then you see Sierra walk off with Wigglesworth, and they could talk about, you know, like, did you see Joe catch that fish today? That was awesome. But everybody else, we lose our mind. And now we're like, Sierra's gone. It's over. And then you see Abby talking to Sierra. Nope. She plans change. Abby's gone. And it would happen 3 and 4 times in an hour. It was crazy. Like, my mind, it blew my mind over and over. It was just the craziest season. It was horrible.
So there's been a little bit of confusion coming out of this of what was voting blocks a real thing. Tasha was saying to us last night that voting blocks was just a red herring. It was always still alliances. Did you feel like it really was a different thing this season?
I don't know. I think it was. I think it is a real thing. I think that, you know, when you know, Spencer, Steven, and myself, we jump and go with the Witch's Coven. That's a block right there. And Witch's Coven. And then when I keep on saying that. And then when I jump back and, you know, go back with Tasha, I mean, that's a voting block. We keep things moving, and and it's just, I think it's a real thing. I think it's changing the game. Give Steven some credit for that.
We'll give him credit for that. All right. I know you got to run, but last thing, would you ever consider doing Survivor again, or now are you good?
I'm good, man.
Yeah.
I'm done. That punched me in my face. I'm all done.
Don't hit on 20, you know?
I'm all set, man. I'm going home. I'm going back to work on Saturday.
Walk out of the casino a winner for once, and then it's nice. All right, Jeremy, again, congrats to you and Val and your family, and you know, best of luck in the next couple of weeks with this baby boy, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Tell Nicole I said hi, because she picked me, and you didn't.
Believe me, she's gloating. She is gloating this morning, talking about how great she is.
She's awesome. She's the Cesarito that doesn't suck.
Yes, she is. All right. All right. Take care, Jeremy. Bye.
Take care, bud.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jeremy Collins. I don't know if we have a Nicole's the best know-it-all drop ready to go, but I'm sure it will not be far off if I know our listeners. So that's something to look forward to for the future and see if Nicole can keep it moving forward. And boy, Nicole was really like, well, I got it right again. I'm really the best. Like, all right, all right. Really like the last thing I wanted to discuss at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning as I was sitting there with a crying baby. But that is the case in my house. So, all right. Let's go ahead and switch gears, and we're going to be talking to one of the runners-up from last night. He is the 2-time Survivor player from Survivor Cagayan and now back in Survivor Cambodia, and he is your reigning Mr. Survivor. Let's bring in Spencer. Spencer, are you there?
Rob, what's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man. I'm doing okay. I'm doing, I think, marginally better than last night. It's all up from here.
It's all up from here. That's right. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Yeah, I can talk to Steven and commiserate. We're in the same exclusive club now.
Yeah. All right. So I got to see you last night at the finale. Afterwards, did you get to have a fun time last night?
Yeah. I mean, I went to the after party. It was pretty crazy. It was fun to see you and a few other people briefly, but you know, it was kind of hard to like really talk. But no, I had fun. Then I just went to In-N-Out with my sisters and girlfriend, which was also fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, now I'm here. Got a little bit of sleep. Good to go. I don't want to Garrett Adelstein this, so I know you got stuff to get to.
Well, you know, I'm really interested in you and how you're processing this, because it really sounds like, I remember talking to you after Cagayan, and you were so happy in that time of, like, even though, you know, you lost to Tony, you know, you seem like really excited about the whole experience. And now I know you end up going, doing even better this time. You improved on that performance getting to the final three. And you seem like you're really beating yourself up about this game.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely am beating myself up. I don't know. It's like, to me, I don't know if it's better to go to the end and lose so handily than it is to be right there and be close to winning. I'm happy with how I played. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm still, you know, proud of what I was able to do, how I was able to play. I think Cagayan, it was probably easy for me to sort of compartmentalize my kicking myself and my regret and say, lost the big challenge. but I really tried everything I could. I made some mistakes, but I played a good game. Here, it's just, there's so much that that I have been rethinking. It's a lot more, I guess, to kick myself over. And if there's something to be said, even it sounds kind of trivial, it might sound silly, but there's something to be said for like, it's an unpleasant experience to be like disliked by your cast.
Yeah.
To have, you know, like I didn't realize Kelly Wentworth, for example, like had such negative feelings toward me. Like I don't have bad feeling toward anyone. And in Gargiana, I was pretty well liked. And this time I wasn't that well liked when it all finished up, at least with the people who made the jury. It's just as like a social creature, I guess. It's kind of unpleasant. It makes me a little sad.
Are you talking about during the game or after the game?
After the game. I mean, during Final Tribal Council, they didn't. I don't know that it necessarily was in the show, but there was a lot of, you know, sneering, a lot of dirty looks. There was a lot of animosity toward Tasha and myself. And I mean, we didn't get it as bad as a lot of people get it at Final Tribal Council, as far as the questioning, but. It's a hard thing to weather. I definitely have, you know, I have respect for people who are on that side of it now. It's like my heart goes out to, you know, the Dawn Meehans of the world now.
Do you resent the decision to decide to be more emotional and open yourself up more in this game? Because guess what? You opened up your heart and then people ripped it out.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. I saw this happen to Data on Star Trek The Next Generation, the movie.
I don't think like I don't regret it. I think what I did really truly allowed me to play in a way I couldn't before, and it's crazy because I don't know why this was how it was shown. I don't know why I'm just talking about making relationships and it's not necessarily shown, but I really did. I really made bonds with people. I made a bond with Wentworth, and I think that's why that animosity came up, because she felt really betrayed. Yeah, I had a long heart-to-heart with Cass on the beach. I apologized for Kageyan. We came together. We saw each other in each other's perspectives, and it was really great. And, you know, that wasn't in the show either, but I felt like I truly did what I talked about doing and made good relationships, not only with the people I went to the end with, but with a lot of people. And I think in some cases that, you know, they felt betrayed. I think in some cases they didn't feel betrayed, but they just thought Jeremy played better. But I really do think that is what allowed me to be in tune with the game and to sort of make more decisions for myself and affect its direction more. I was only able to do what I did strategically and, you know, have votes and plans go my way for like the first time ever. Because I had those relationships.
Do you feel like that people resented you because if one of your plans did work, that because you're so young, that people almost feel like that it was, you know, insulting that you got one over on them?
Yes. I try to be fair and objective.
Because this was an older cast.
I'm definitely not. Yeah, it was. And, you know, I don't want to, like, give myself too much credit. I had huge flaws. I had huge mistakes, but I think age hurt me big time. I think that, you know, people don't, they'd much rather lose to Jeremy, the family man, than to Spencer, the 23-year-old kid with no, like zero responsibility in life, zero family to take care of, just started a new job, doing fine. Yeah, I think age hurt me. I think definitely people in the jury house campaigning against me hurt me. So I think that was a big factor.
You know, I feel like your name came up a lot in terms of people that were allegedly working together in the preseason. Just how many different people coming into this game did you feel like you had something going on with?
Well, I felt like I had a good rapport with Shireen, Tasha, Steven, I guess, to a lesser extent, Kelly Wentworth, Jeff Farner, PG, kind of the people that were talked about way back when. I said the word alliance with no one. Like the first time I talked to Steven, for example, he was very clear. Like the first thing he said to me was, just so you know, I don't want to make any deals. I don't want to make any alliance. I'm going into this game clean. But I'm happy to talk about it with you. And it was that kind of thing with a lot of people. Like with Tasha, we said, you know, I feel like we have We know who each other are. It would be great if we ended up on the same tribe. But we didn't say the word alliance. It definitely wasn't you and me to the end type of thing at all. So I felt like I had, you know, something good as far as like a relationship with people going in, but I was not, you know, I didn't have this mastermind pregame spider web of alliances set up or anything like that. And I actually had nothing doing with it. Shane was a little off the mark. Like I hadn't, there were people I hadn't even talked to, Sierra being one of them.
Did you feel like that the pregame stuff though, in like talking to those people, did that make it more complicated? Because then when you want to make a move out there that somebody is like, hey, well, I was talking with Spencer pregame, so I know I'm good. And
totally.
Like, it hurts more.
Yeah, big time. I mean, I think that's why Steven, I think, made the right call by saying like, look, I'm not making pregame alliances with anyone. And I pretty much had a similar approach that, like, you can hurt yourself way more than you can help yourself. Like, given just the vast number of situations you can't anticipate, many of which will involve, like, hey, I might need to turn on this person. I think it can hurt you way more than it can help you to pregame really hard.
Did you feel like at any point headed into that tribal council that you felt like you were had a chance to win?
Oh, yeah. I thought going in, I thought I had a chance to win. You know, I said it last night, like when I was talking to Wentworth, I was saying I thought Jeremy had a great chance to win. I was nervous. I thought that I thought it could really go either way. You know, Jeremy had found these idols. I had won a couple immunities. He had been in control of some votes. I'd been in control of some votes. I thought it was I thought I had a case to make. And I overestimated myself and underestimated him. And then as tribal council went on, like in my head, the probability that, you know, I'm winning goes down and down and down. And by the end of it, it was pretty much zero.
Do you feel like that you had one move in this season that you feel like was the one that you wish you could take back?
Yeah. Voting Steven out. Not because I feel bad about it. Not because, I think it was wrong of me or anything like that, but, two things. I didn't realize just how dangerous Jeremy was, just how much he would trounce me. I saw it as kind of, okay, we make it to the end together after I played the game I've played. 50-50, I have a shot, maybe a little worse than 50-50, but I can take my chance. In reality, he was just going to beat me no matter what. And then the other factor was Steven was the biggest campaigner against me in the jury house.
You know, that's interesting to me because the part about that you would get rid of Steven, because I kind of feel like that put you on a different path where, you know, you could have, you know, crafted a different narrative with the other side of things. I feel like that going further with that Steven group, I feel like that you were lower down on the totem pole on that side of things.
Yeah, I was. I mean, that's a large part of why I made the move. I felt as if, you know, Kimmy, Jeremy, Tasha, Steven were all very tight. And Steven was really like a nucleus in that. He was in a powerful position and I was on the outside. And I felt like if I just keep going with that group, sure, I can possibly go to the end, but it won't be on anything I did. And people like Sierra who are going to tribal council preaching, you need to play the game, you need to play to win, are certainly going to see me as just someone who is in those people's pockets. So I felt like it was really important that I made a move away from that group and that I switched to the other side, at least temporarily, to just play my own game and start climbing from the bottom to the top. I think I just chose the wrong guy to vote out.
Were you upset with Jeremy that he made you really sing for your supper at the final four where you really had to end up doing the thing? Because I think that it wasn't really a great moment where, you know, and Savage was talking about it in his final tribal council speech or question about how, you know, how dare you try to tell us that you can try to campaign and make us do what we don't want to do. But, you know, Jeremy really kind of did leave you out to dry in that scenario.
Look, it was good gameplay for him. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, I mean, it worked. He saw that I could hurt myself way more than I could help myself in that moment, and he let me do it. He, you know, he played on my paranoia. He played on the fact that I was starting to get really worried. I was about to get voted out. And yeah, it's like, it's kind of like what I said before last night. It's like, I felt like the idea was right. You know, I wanted to tell Jeremy those things in a general sense, but maybe it should have been a private conversation, not in front of the jury. You know, shouldn't have insinuated that I would have that much pull. I wouldn't have had that much pull. I was just really trying to do whatever I could to not get voted out.
Were you proud of yourself about the way that you competed in the challenges this season? Because I feel like that you are a very underrated challenge performer. Like, I feel like it's an underreported story. Like, oh, Joe has 7 immunity challenge wins, but you have 6.
Yeah. I was happy with that. Thanks for the compliment. I think, yeah, like, it's, I definitely was just around, like, there's always someone better than you. I think I'm, like, less of a specialist and more of a guy who's just, like, decent at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to claim I have great ball savviness or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think I'm, like, respectable at most things athletic, most things mental. So, you know, Joe can certainly beat me in many, many, many things, probably everything. And Wentworth can beat me at things. Steven can beat me at things. But when you put it all together, I think, you know, I can be at least a competitor. I can be, you know, in the fight.
How are things with the cast now that you've been back with them for a couple of days? Do you feel like that for the most part, all the healing has happened?
I think most of the healing has happened. I think Steven and I have come a long way. Like after the game, Steven wouldn't look at me. And I feel like I've gotten on a little bit better terms with him. And what I said before about him in the jury house, like, I don't have hard feelings about that. You know, I understand. So I think we're on better terms. I think there's still some bitterness with Kelly Wentworth. I didn't even realize really how upset she was with me. She was really mad. So I think there's still some bitterness there. But it's better. You know, it's not perfect. And it might not be perfect at any point, but it's getting better.
All right, Spencer, you hang in there. I mean, you should have seen how mad Steven was after Cochran beat him in Reality Game Masters. But, you know, he comes around. He'll come around. Okay? All right.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks,
all right. All the best to you and Marcella, and hope to talk again soon. Okay, buddy?
Thanks. And you and Nicole and Anthony. I know I said it before, but congrats.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right, take care, buddy. Bye.
All right, bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Spencer back here on Rob Has a Podcast. Really hope that Spencer is doing okay. I feel like he's really beating himself up a little too much about all this. Just want him to cheer up. I mean, it was a Survivor season. You played hard. You got to the end. That's an accomplishment. And he's a young kid. He's going to go off to do great things with his life. Just don't beat yourself up too much about Survivor. I need some advice from Jeremy.
Hey, you got to have confidence in yourself, yo. We got confidence in you. Have it in yourself, man.
Yeah. So it'll be okay for Spencer. Look, this too shall pass, Spencer, and everything is going to be fine. All right. So we have Kelly Wentworth coming up next. But before we get to that, let me just take a quick moment and tell you about one of the other shows that you could hear here on Podcast One. Of course, Podcast One is the podcast home of Rob Has a Podcast, in addition to many other outstanding podcasts. And if you follow The Real Housewives, you know that the OC's Heather Dubrow's world, and you can live in it for an hour every week on Podcast One, because Heather's an actress, a TV personality, host, wife, and mother who talks to all reality TV stars like Real Housewives of OC's Tamara Barney and Shannon Bidor, Botch stars Dr. Paul Nassif, and Terry Dubrow, and Hollywood A-lister Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yes, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. A-lister. Well, look at that. And even Melrose Place star turned Beverly Hills housewife Lisa Rinna. So don't miss it. Subscribe to Heather Dubrow's World on iTunes today and find everything you need right here on Podcast One on podcastone.com. All right, so let's go ahead and go into Wentworth's world, as she is going to be joining us here, and probably the winner of the Most Improved Survivor of 2015. Very excited to talk to Underdog Wentworth again. Here she is. Kelly, are you there?
Good morning, Rob.
Kelly.
Forgive me for my voice. I sound like a man right now. Yeah. I apologize.
I know how it goes. I did a pretty good job last night of not overextending my voice, but yeah, it's definitely tough. And you had a lot more to celebrate over the course of the season than I did. But anyway, Kelly, very nice to talk with you. Happy to have a little more time to get into this. You know, I wish we would have gotten to hear a little bit more from your dad, or at least see a reaction from him in the audience last night. What was Dale's reaction to all this season?
I I can't believe you didn't see him. He was like standing up with his arms in the air, waving like a madman. I don't know what he was doing out there. Like, Dad, I see you. Okay, hi.
Yeah.
He was having a blast. Come on. Farm Guy 69. He's always going to have a great time.
Yeah. So that's really kind of crazy. Now, that leads me into that you had such a good relationship with Keith Nail this season. Was that really born out of San Juan del Sur, or was that because you got to know him in a different way in this game?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I did have a relationship somewhat with Keith in San Juan del Sur, but it really started when we had that second tribe swap, and it was, you know, the second Takeo tribe. I really got to hang out with Keith a lot. And then on the merge, you know, we just started kind of bonding a little more, and he's super funny, and we had the tuck ride together, and it was just super natural. Yeah. It wasn't from San Juan del Sur. It definitely just happened out there in Cambodia.
Do you think it really helped you that you were a familiar face for him?
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for Keith on that, but it probably was. I mean, I think he said in both of his interviews and his campaigning going into the game that he might want to work with me. So it definitely probably helped that he knew me from a previous season.
Kelly, in talking and doing these interviews this morning, we spoke with Spencer earlier, and Spencer said that he was kind of surprised that it seemed like that you had hard feelings with him towards everything that ended up playing out the season. Is that the case? And do you still have hard feelings for Spencer?
When is he saying I had hard feelings? Because I didn't give him a vote?
I'm not sure.
Like, I don't know. I've talked to Spencer a lot, so I'm not sure what he's talking about. I mean, he has been a little weird to me the past couple of days at the hotel. And I was like, Spence, yo, like, what's up? It's all good. The game's over. Who cares? I just, like, we had some very personal conversations out there. And so, yeah, I did feel very betrayed by him. And I was upset, but I'm over it. It's all good.
Okay, good. I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that, I think.
I don't know why he's holding on to it. Like, Spence, if you're listening, like, we're cool, man.
Yeah, everybody's cool. So yes. Let's go back to the preseason, Kelly, because I'm really interested to know where your head was at in terms of, okay, that I'm sure you were actively campaigning, trying to make sure that you were on the season. But at the same time, were you also doing a lot of maneuvering behind the scenes to get ready to go out there with these people?
Yeah, this was a tough season. I hope people know, like, we have been at this for months now, from the time we were called to having the campaign and go out there, and now the show's airing. You know, before going out, I spent so much time on social media and interacting with people. And I also was thinking about all the things you think about when you leave. Like, I still have a normal life. I have a job. I have to deal with these things and get my life in order to leave. So there wasn't anything specific I was doing, nothing different from when I went the first time. Just hoping to get on, to be honest with you.
But in terms of, like, relationships with other players, we heard Jeff Varner say...
Are you trying to ask me if I have a pregame alliance? Like, yeah. You really am trying to dodge your question.
Well, why are you dodging
Read
it?
Read between the lines, Rob.
Yeah, well, that's... I wouldn't be a good interviewer if I let you dodge questions.
I did have... not relationships, but I did speak to some people before going out there. I think you have to touch base a little bit. I wasn't locked in to anything specific, as Jeff Varner seemed to be. But I definitely did touch base and say, hey, like, hope to see you out there. Hey, if we get out there, you know, would love to work with you, that type of thing.
What was the thing that you saw on the TV show that really surprised you that you didn't quite know or see while you were out there in Cambodia?
Ooh, good question. I guess I was surprised, at least up until this final four vote. It seemed like a lot of people didn't really see me as a threat at all, especially after the idol play when I got out savage. Like, I thought for sure I was dead in the water on the next boat. I was like, crap, if they don't want me out now, like, they're certainly going to want me out. And it just surprised me that some people seem to keep, like, passing me by. And then, you know, people were just like, oh, like, whatever, it's just Wentworth, like, Sierra's doing all the work. Like, I was kind of surprised by that they didn't see me as more of a threat, like, earlier in the game, I guess, if that makes sense.
But was that a blessing or a curse? Because I can certainly see why it's a blessing, but is it a curse that you felt like you were disregarded by people during the game?
No, I definitely think it was a blessing. I mean, because it allowed me to to shift and work with other people. And, you know, the fact that people weren't seeing everything I was doing helped me get to the final four. I mean, that's it. It was a blessing, but, you know, it was kind of a bummer too, I guess, that people thought I was not playing that great of a game until the very end.
Look, that's all part of being sneaky, right?
I know, my whole style, but now it's blown up. Oh my God, Rob.
Yeah. All right.
I would do one right now, but like because my voice sounds like I've been like smoking cigarettes for 20 years,
yeah.
I don't really want to do
it's
it.
Like, why is Shane Power saying sneaky on the podcast?
Exactly, right? Yeah, exactly.
So go back to that final six, because when we were watching it play out in real time, Keith Nail is like, well, you know, I'll fall on my sword. Sure. You know, Kimmy's a single mom. And you're like, no, Pumpkin. Keith, you're staying. But I turned to Josh when I was sitting next to him. I'm like, you know what? I feel like that maybe it might be the better thing. Let Keith go, because then maybe now ultimately you want immunity at five. So it was kind of a moot point, but I felt like that maybe you might have been better off if Kimmy stayed in the game. Cause I felt like that Jeremy would be more angry at Kimmy, and Kimmy would definitely go out before you, and Keith had a better shot to win the immunity. Did you consider at all maybe if Kimmy stayed in the game instead of Keith?
Wow. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
It played out in like 6 seconds in real life. So
yeah, the tribal council was such a mess. I had no idea what was going on. I was like, wait, I thought we had to draw rocks. Wait, why would Keith go home if we don't vote for Tasha or Kimmy? Wait, hold up. Tasha and Jeremy refused to vote. Or, you know, here I can't even talk about it right now. It was just so confusing. All I knew is that Keith had been with me and was working with me, and Kimmy had not. And so I didn't trust going back to camp, and Jeremy roping Kimmy back in, and those four just getting rid of me on the next one. So that's why I kept Keith.
You accused Spencer of having a final tribal council speech ready to go, and he retorted back that it was a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black. Did you have a final tribal council speech ready to go?
No, absolutely not. I was just trying to get there.
Yeah.
No, I had nothing planned.
And do you feel like that you would have been able to put together a compelling argument? And we talked about last night some of the people that you felt like you would have had. What would your pitch have been if you were in that final three?
Well, my entire game was working from the bottom and just maneuvering and shifting and finding new people to work with. And, you know, how can I survive another day? And so that was my whole thing. It was just like, hey, you know, I didn't have other people to rely on. I had to rely on me. And this is how I got here. You know, I found idols. I won challenges. I moved my needed to move. I was willing to just, you know, just survive another day. So that was kind of my speech going into it. And I felt like I also was pretty close with the jury. And Jeremy actually told me on the hammock that day, he said, Kelly, I absolutely cannot take you to the end. The jury loves you and I will lose. So I knew I was going home.
Yeah. Did you feel like there was a realistic chance you were going to be making a fire against Spencer?
No, I was hoping, you know, I was like saying a little prayer in my head, but no, I knew it was me.
Would you have been able to make the fire?
I think
wouldn't.
So.
No.
Yes, you would. No, I would have been fine. Yeah, I would have done it, of course.
You know, I think that one of the things that was interesting about your game, and you touched on it just now, was I did think that you had a touch of the Sandra in you, where you definitely had people that you were working with, but if the numbers were shifting, you were very quick to pile on and vote with the majority. Was that something that you consciously came into this game with?
Yeah, I did come in and just want to be open to anything. So obviously, my first choice would be having a solid alliance. Unfortunately, that just did not work out for me. Every time I tried to get in one, it seemed like it just didn't work for whatever reason, you know? And that's something that Jeremy did very well, is that he was able to control people. And I did control some people, I guess. Love you, Abby Maria. But it was just, that's just not how my game was. So when I went out there, that's not how I wanted to play, but that's how I had to play. And I just adapted once I hit the beach.
You know, Kelly, I was also impressed with your social game this season because I felt like that even the people that you weren't particularly close with, because I think that everybody has a good social game with their allies, like everybody is like really friendly with their allies. But when even when people that you weren't directly working with, like good things would happen with them, you were always like very quick to congratulate them. Was that something also that you consciously worked on this time around?
Yeah, I knew that part of the reason I lost in San Juan del Sur or went home early was because of my social game. Because I was closed off to relationships with people that I wasn't working with. So this time around, I definitely wanted to have a relationship with everyone. It didn't have to be a huge relationship or super close, but I wanted to have conversations with everyone. I wanted to just constantly, you know, be telling people, like, I just wanted to be involved in their story, whatever that was. So that's definitely something that I came out there wanting to do, and I feel like I did do that.
Was there any chance you were voting for anybody besides Jeremy going into the final travel?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Well, Kelly, thank you so much. Really looking forward to catching up some more when you have some time after this whole whirlwind is over. But all the best to you. And again, great job, Kelly.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Next time we talk, I promise not to sound like this.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Kelly Wentworth back here on Rob Has a Podcast, and very happy for Kelly and how this all turned out. And really, she's somebody who I always admired the hustle of Kelly Wentworth, that she was somebody who very easily, once she went on Survivor the first time and she voted out fifth, she very easily could have said, okay, well, enough of this. But she was tenacious, and like a dog with a bone, she wasn't ever going to give up this Survivor thing. And, you know, I don't think she's going to give up. I think that she's going to play a third time. I think that she really could be one of the people that is definitely going to be coming back in a third time's a charm. And so more on that to come, I'm sure. So before we get to Keith and Kimmy, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at TrueCar. Now, look, if you're just waiting around for Keith Nail to come pick you up in a tuk-tuk, you know that it's the right time to be looking for a new car. But finding the best price on a new car and getting that clarity could be more difficult to understand than the final six Tribal Council of Survivor Cambodia. That's why you need TrueCar.com or the TrueCar mobile app, because you could see exactly what other people are paying for the car that you're looking for down to the zip code you're living in. And TrueCar users have saved over $3,000 off MSRP on average without any hassles or headaches. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and there are over 10,000 dealers in that TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. You'll work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer when you visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. All right, so we are going to bring in Keith and Kimmy. Maybe this is going to be a new amazing race combo down the road. Very excited to talk with them. Kimmy and Keith, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Good morning. Keith, you're sounding better today.
I am. I got a little sleep, Rob.
Okay, well, I think this is going to be fun having you two both on the line today, because you guys were involved in that very crazy tribal council. Kimmy, have you thanked Keith for at least offering to fall on his sword for you?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we talked about it when we were in Cambodia. The night that Keith got voted out, he and I, we sat on the beach together. And, you know, we just spent some time together. And you know, I appreciate him, you know, trying to do something. But, I mean, it was never going to happen.
Did you guys have a close relationship or even a closer one than we saw on the TV show?
I don't know. I think so. I like Kimmy, and we were both. Like I say, she was number four in her little alliance, and me and Wentworth were over there in ours, so we were both struggling right there at number six. I was telling the last person, I think we really screwed up when it was number seven, when we still had Abby around, but Lord knows what she's thinking, so.
Yeah.
I mean, like I say, me and Kimmy were kind of battling right there at the end.
Yeah, Kimmy, when I watched those secret scenes last week, you were kind of reluctant to vote out Abby. You weren't crazy about that idea. Did you feel like that Abby would have been a person that would have really helped you down the stretch?
The problem the problem with Abby is that she needed constant reassurance in the game with people she was with. And so Jeremy went and took her under his wing and was like, Abby, you're in this alliance. You're okay. You're okay. So me looking at this, you know, and knowing that she's not really in the alliance, but if she thinks that she's in Jeremy's alliance, if we go to Abby and say, okay, Abby, we need to vote out, you know, Tasha or Jeremy or Spencer, the problem that I have is she going to go back to Jeremy because she feels safe with him and tell him that? So that was why I didn't, you know, want to vote out Abby. I really wanted to go and try to get out Spencer or Tasha or Jeremy, but you have to be careful with who you tell this to.
Yeah, with Abby, I'm telling you, you can say, you know, man, I like your shirt, Abby, and she'll be with you for life. But then you can say, hey, what's wrong with your hair? Let's get rid of Keith. I'm done with him. You know, it's one of them reassurance, just like Kimmy said. You didn't want to talk to her. You didn't want to talk to her because she goes, flies off the handle.
But Keith, you did a pretty good job this season. I don't ever remember Abby Maria yelling at you.
Yeah, that's right, because I kept saying, oh, how beautiful she was. And, you'd like to say, she's like a firecracker. But I guess that's the little Brazilian in her.
Kimmy, could you talk a little bit more about some of the things that you may or may not have been doing that we didn't really get to see on the show? Do you feel like that there was any move that you felt like you were an important part of that you feel like wasn't really depicted accurately on the show?
I don't know. There was just a lot of stuff that went on in our daily discussions and things that, you know, wasn't going on. I kept trying to get Joe and Fish back together and telling them, you know, you two got to put your differences aside and the three of us with Wigglesworth could be a great alliance and nobody would expect it because nobody would expect Fish and Joe to work together. And I kept saying, you guys just got to do this and you can blindside Jeremy because eventually everybody knew that he had to come out. You could take out Spencer, you know, you could take out Akeith because I really wanted to have women numbers anyway, or at least go, if you're going to be out there for freaking 39 days, you may as well be out there with people that you like and things that you have common with.
Kimmy, did you know Kelly from before this, Kelly Wigglesworth before this season, or did you guys just bond at being sort of like, oh, I don't know anybody else. Do you know anybody else here?
I mean, I had met her 14 years ago when we did a magazine shoot together.
Whoa.
But, you know, it's not like I've stayed in touch with her, but when we were out there, I mean, we just genuinely, you know, got along and had a connection. She's somebody that I could trust. And I'm, you know, just in our personal life with children. And, you know, it's so funny because there were just times when we'd be out there talking about, you know, something like breastfeeding or something. And because she wasn't in my alliance at the time when, you know, it was during the beginning of a tribe swap. And then everyone's like, oh, well, what are you guys talking about? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's not always about the game. We have nothing left to talk about. You know, sometimes I genuinely like the girl.
Keith, that you weren't a resource on the breastfeeding?
No, I wasn't in on that. I kind of hate I missed that.
You weren't there during that time. Yeah, Keith.
No, I wasn't there, believe me.
Keith, I watched your Ponderosa video this morning, and people had said it was a really good one. Yeah, and it was very fun. Yeah, there's two parts that are really great. One is everybody's reactions to, did Keith have a real idol and did Keith not play the real idol at Tribal Council? And it looked like that you might have even doubted whether or not it was a fake idol. Was there like a little bit of doubt in your mind if Kelly gave you a real idol or not?
Yeah, I come up and ask her, I said, Kelly, you got an idol, I need it bad tonight. And she popped out this thing and I said, are you kidding me? And it looked great. And she said, that's not real. And I said, what do you mean? And I was, stick up. I was this close to showing it. Now, I don't think I was going to play it because I didn't want to go down like that. But showing it, that would have been, hey, look here. Keith's got this baby. Do what y'all got to do.
But hold on, Keith. But if there was a chance that you thought it was real, why not play it?
Because if it would have been fake, I really would have looked like a heel. You know what I mean? I think it's cheesy. I think it's cheesy. It never works. But heck, Rob, that's not the only mistake I've made in the last couple of years.
Kimmy, could you talk about the reaction from the jury members to Keith with the idol that night?
Well, we were totally confused because we were like, you know, because we're sitting far apart, and if you, there's, you know, several people to watch, and we're looking, it's like, is that an idol? He didn't play an idol? What was going on? What was going on? So it was a little bit confusing, and the whole thing, was it real? Was it not real? But, you know, it's kind of, a fake idol is like, it's like a teaser, at least. You know, if he had pulled it out and been, you know, let them see, hopefully they would have scrambled themselves on the jury and, I mean, I you know, at Tribal, and maybe voted themselves out. But.
And Kimmy, were you rooting for that at that point? Or is it like, well, you know, my alliance, I hope that they lose now because they turned on me? Or were you kind of hoping that they would end up seeing it through?
No, we were, the thing is, like, Jeremy was like the godfather out there, and he got mad at me for calling him that at some point, because he would sit there when he was talking to people, like, in our alliance. He didn't like for all of us to be together, like, in a big family group. I mean, it would happen once in a blue moon, but usually it'd be him talking to Tasha or him talking to Fish or him talking to me and then going back, you know, and giving them little pieces of information. So there were things, you know, people were in my alliance that I didn't necessarily like or respect, but I had to have them there. I mean, I went into this game saying I'm going to use people as much as they use me, and I think I did that. So once it got to the, you know, towards the end, I wasn't, you know, all snuggly with Spencer and Tasha. So I had no allegiance to them. I sure as heck didn't, you know, think that either one of them should win. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, after I was voted out, it was all Team Keith and Team Wentworth.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to that crazies vote at the final six, which I really think was such a historic night for Survivor that we got to see how that all played out. And it comes down to, well, it's either going to be Kimmy or Keith going home in this spot. How much did both of you have to be like, wait, hold on, wait a second, why is this happening? Like, were you guys in the moment clear on what was happening, or was there like some hand-holding that needed to go on?
We were completely clueless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that Tribal rocked along and rocked along, and I thought they were back there making up rules as we went along, because I said, how in the hell did me and Kimmy come up and nobody's even wrote down our name yet? But it's, I don't know, man, that was crazy. And that's when I finally said, I'm done with this. I mean, send me to the house, and you know, cause I was about at it. And, you know, my black guy, Robin, was crazy.
Yeah. So you were just, I've had enough of this. What is this? You're changing the rules.
Yeah,
I mean, shoot,
$1 million. I mean, I hadn't been a millionaire in 54 years. Like I say, I could probably slick along another 54.
And Kimmy, what for you, was it the same thing?
Yeah, it was very frustrating, because we went out there and all of a sudden, you know, our names weren't even on the radar. I mean, as much as Spencer and Tasha were saying that, oh, you know, Kimmy's going to flip, and telling that to Jeremy, they still didn't write my name down. So as much as they thought that I was going to flip, they still didn't write my name down. So
yeah. Kimmy, what did you think about the way that Spencer really called you out at that Tribal Council?
Oh, it just goes to show to his arrogance and things that were going on at the camp that you didn't always get to see.
Did that speak more to the fact that he was immune, or do you think that he would have been like that if he did not have the immunity necklace?
No, I mean, I think that the immunity definitely helped to bolster his ego, but even when he didn't have the immunity necklace, you know, 2 days later when Jeremy had it and he was yelling at Jeremy, if you go, you know, if you don't take me to the final three, I'm going to make sure I do everything to go and see that you don't win. I mean, so he still has a level of arrogance, and you got to see it at both of those Tribal Councils, which is exactly why when I did my closing, you know, statement at the last Tribal Council, I was like, you're a bully.
Uh-oh.
And I made him cry after that, though. Uh-oh. Because apparently when I said that at Tribal Council, when he got back to Ponderosa, it really upset him.
Yeah.
So.
And then you were the bully, Kimmy. That's bullying.
Well, no. I mean, but I mean, you have to be.
Keith, isn't that bullying if Kimmy is making people cry?
I didn't mean to make, well, he made me cry. I didn't see anyone coming to rush and hold my hand. But, I mean, it's just like if my child does something wrong, I have to go and reprimand my child. That's the way that they learn. And so it was the same thing with Spencer. He did something wrong, and I'm not going to sit there. You know, you got to use your words and be like, you did what was wrong, and this is, you know, a textbook example of what not to do. Thank you.
So Spencer was grounded after Survivor. Keith, the other thing in that Ponderosa video that was so funny was, so apparently you became like really good friends with the Cambodian locals that were at the Ponderosa. Can you talk about that?
Man, I hadn't seen that shit, Rob. You're ruining it for me. I got
sorry.
Yeah,
spoilers.
There was a couple old boys out back, and I'd go back there and we talked to them. I mean, I didn't have a clue what they were saying, and they didn't have a clue what I was saying. But we'd have a few beers together, and it was like we were old friends or something.
It's very funny. Kimmy, would you consider trading in a Harley to get in a tuk-tuk driven by Keith?
Oh, I loved my tuk-tuk moment out there, because that was like total wind therapy to me. It was just like, this is pretty awesome. I don't know. I really want a Harley. And it looks like, you know, I may be getting one in the spring, so get me a nice Dyna or something. But I definitely got to go out to Louisiana. I'm going to go out to L.A.
South L.A.
That's where I'm going.
Keith, how much do people talk about the tuk-tuk?
Yeah, that's the fun part of the show. You know, you kind of forget about all the gameplay and just get out there and have a fun time, ride your partners around the beach. When in the world would you ever get to do that? I mean, that's nuts.
It is pretty nuts. All right, so last thing for both of you guys. Now, Kimmy, it was such a long layoff in between seasons. Was this just your Survivor itch has been scratched at this point, or now do you have the fever? Do you want to do it again?
You know what? I feel like this was like my refresher course. And now I'm ready to play.
Okay, this is practice. This is spring training.
You agree, Kimmy?
Well, you know, it's just, I went out there this time, and so many seasons had been in just the last couple of years. I was the last old school person. I was, you know, getting used to idols. I was getting used to people having pre-existing relationships or alliances. You know, look at the final six. You had three from San Juan, two from Cagayan, and then you had me from the Outback, right. I know
so, you guys got to run. So that's a yes for Kimmy. Keith?
Keith's probably pretty much done, Rob.
Okay. I know you said you were doing going backwards. You were in fourth and then fifth.
Yeah.
So yeah, you probably it's trending
I'm going
the
wrong direction.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was very fun to watch you guys both in the season, and great to talk to you last night and again today. So all the best, and hope to see you soon. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, everybody, the Kimmy Kappenberg and Keith Nail together. Boy, a year ago, did you ever think that you'd be saying those two names in one sentence? No, but here they are here on the podcast. And that's it. That's it for our exit interviews. Boy, we've talked about so much in the last like 12 hours or so, and I can't believe that it is all said and done, save for one more podcast when Josh Wigler swings by here later on this afternoon. We're going to go into your voicemails. If you're listening to this when this first comes out, probably you have until I'd say around 5 p.m. Eastern to get your voicemails in. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282. RHAP. Leave us your voicemail message. We're going to talk about all this, probably take some feedback from Facebook as well, and officially close the book on Rob Has a Podcast proper on Survivor Cambodia after 7-8 months of coverage of this thing. So very excited to have that conversation later on today. So again, thanks to everybody who's used our links for Amazon.com. Always appreciated. And of course, I thanked last night on the video show, but thanks so much to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, because those are the people that allowed me to talk about Survivor and do all these fun interviews on a weekday when otherwise I would probably be somebody who was working in an office somewhere. So do appreciate that. So thanks so much to the patrons. Thanks to everybody who checked out all of this coverage. Love to hear from you guys in the comments, and make sure you subscribe subscribe to Rob's podcast, because we have a lot of stuff coming up here in the off season, working on a holiday special, working on a best of 2015 special, and then plenty more to come in January and February as we begin the road to Survivor 32. What could go wrong? Have a good one, everybody. Take care.